Once again, we're in the book of Ephesians. Colossians, we've already studied Ephesians and Philippians, and Colossians is the Christ of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Kim, if you guys can put up verse 16 again in chapter 1. I want to look at that verse one more time before I jump down to verse 24. And the reason that I want to go back to that is I was out in the parking lot a few minutes ago and I looked back into the west. I don't know if you noticed, but it was an incredible, beautiful, beautiful sunset. And I thought about this verse that we've looked at in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. I picked up an article that I was reading the other day that said a sight that hasn't occurred in 800 years, the key to experiencing the power of heaven's child, the king. And in this article, I think this is most interesting, speaking about the created order out there in the heavens. It says an event is coming on the evening of December the 21st that last occurred on March the 4th in the year of 1226. According to Rice University astronomer Patrick Hartigan, that was the last time Jupiter and Saturn were as closely aligned in the night sky as they will be later this month. In 18 days, the two will appear to us like a double planet separated by only 1/5 the diameter of the full moon. This won't happen again until March the 15th in the year 2080, and then sometime after the year of 2400. Even though these planets will appear as small dots in our sky, they are actually huge. In fact, get this, you could fit 700 Earths inside of Saturn. Jupiter is even larger. You could fit 1,300 Earths, or one of each of the planets in our solar system inside of it. Actually, you could not do any of that, of course, neither could I, but the Christ of Christmas could. The Bible says that by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth. This, however, is not how most people in our culture picture Christ. A baby in a manger, a teacher and a healer, even a man dying on a cross or rising from the grave. We see him more as creature than creator, one of us rather than king of us. When I read that article, I could not help but what we see here in the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 16, that speaks of the incredible creation out there. It is mind-boggling to you and to me because we have such finite minds. But the infinite God of the ages, he is the author. He is the creator of all of these things. And you and I cannot even begin to fathom in this lifetime, with the finiteness of our minds, the infiniteness out there that God has created for us. So I just wanted to share that with you in verse 16. Picking up this evening in chapter 1, verse 24, we see the sacrificial service for Christ. Paul says to the church at Colossae, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Paul realized that his life for Christ was filled with all kinds of challenges. His life was filled with all kinds of sufferings. He goes on to say, "And fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." Now let me tell you, in the redemptive plan of Christ, there was absolutely no deficiency whatsoever. But what Paul was saying there when he spoke about what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ, Paul was speaking about the church. As you and I go through this world and the church, we are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And we will look at that on Sunday morning in Revelation chapter 19 as we discuss that. But Paul is in a Roman cell, in a Roman prison. He rejoices that he can suffer for the sake of Christ. And he speaks there in that verse, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." As we are persecuted for our faith, whether it's through physical persecution, whether it's through verbal or mental persecution, let me tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ understands the sufferings of what we go through in this life. Paul rejoiced in those sufferings. There's not a lot of people, I think, as born again Christians who are on that playing field. There are not a lot of people, I believe, that ever reach that pinnacle or that spiritual plane where they can say beyond anything that I rejoice in my sufferings for you. And speaking about how Paul was rejoicing, you know, he counted everything loss except for Christ. And there he says in that particular verse, verse 24, so much he impacts in that verse about these sufferings and how important it is in him to rejoice. He says, of which, verse 25, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. You and I, as born again children of God, we have a purpose in this life. Our purpose is to share the word of Christ, to share the good news of the gospel. Someone said, you know, share the gospel every day. Use words if you have to. In other words, let your light so shine that people will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We live in a very darkened world. We live in a darkened world tonight, but as Janice so beautifully sang about, heaven's child. Let me tell you, we have something to shout about. We have something to say amen about. We have a living hope in the living Christ. And we're marching through this world with all of its complexities, with all of its confusion, with all of its distress, with all of its depressing darknesses and evil that we see on every hand. But yet you and I are to be living luminaries in this world. We are to be lights in this world. If we were to turn off all of these lights tonight, suddenly we would be in a very darkened room. This room would be filled with darkness. We would not be able to see where each other are this evening. But as soon as the light comes on, the darkness is dispelled. Let me tell you, you and I, as the Apostle Paul, he wanted to be a light in a darkened world. There was no place for him to give up. There was no place for him to give out. There was no place for him to give in. He wanted to finish to the very end of his life by ministering the word of the gospel to those who were lost. He had been called to minister to the Gentile world as well as to his own Jewish brethren. Paul so desperately wanted them to know and to believe and to accept this great Messiah that he was preaching about. And in verse 25, as he goes on to say, and that verse just continues on from 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God. You and I are on mission tonight. We're on mission from the Master. Oftentimes I think that we grow weary in our well-doing. The Bible says we'll not faint if we don't grow weary. Let me tell you, tonight there's never a place that you and I are not to give light of the testimony of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Paul took his mission in life. He took his ministry. He took stewardship. He took faithfulness. And he was committed at every turn of the road because he realized the calling that he had from Christ Jesus. Each one of us here this evening, you may not be a pastor behind a podium. You may not be a staff member on a church staff somewhere. But every person, every child of God, all over the world tonight, we are called to carry his light. We are called to take his light into a darkened world. You and I will never realize the influence that we leave in this world. And that's why we need to seize the day. We need to seize every opportunity that we have to live for Jesus. That's all that matters. Can I remember when Evie, if you remember the singer many years ago, she sang a song, "Live for Jesus, that's all that matters." And folks, let me tell you, that's what the Apostle Paul was doing. That's what he filled his life with. And he felt the great responsibility and the great accountability in his stewardship and in his calling to realize that he was doing what he did not for people. He was doing what he did for Christ. And that's what you and I are to do. We are to live for Jesus. We are to fulfill our mission in life for him, because it's not about us. It's all about him. He is the head of the church. We are his body, the church. We are the bride of Christ. He goes on to say, there which was given to me. He's speaking about his ministry and his stewardship from God, which was given to me. Notice he said, for you, to the Colossian Christians. Let me tell you, there's never a place to not pray for your pastor or your staff. Let me tell you, we have a calling upon our lives to share the gospel and to break the bread of life. And he says, which was given to me for you. Notice he says, to fulfill the word of God. Now, there's a lot of words out there in the world that you and I live in. Somebody every day writes some editorial somewhere in some newspaper. We hear lots of words. Many of those words are empty. Many of those words are just words. But many of those things are not put into everyday action, everyday living. Paul didn't want his life to be a life of waste. He wanted every moment of his life to count for Christ. He wanted to fulfill the word of God. And verse 26, he says, the mystery which has been hidden. Now, over in the Old Testament, there was always salvation that was throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. But this mystery that he speaks about in verse 26 was the mystery that the gospel was both for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. And over in the New Testament, it would be revealed. That which was hidden in the O would be revealed in the New Testament. And this mystery that he speaks about here, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Let me tell you, Paul was called to minister to the Gentile world out there. Anybody that was not of the Jewish faith, and also to his Jewish brethren. He had a great calling upon his life, but that mystery was that in Christ, in the new dispensation of grace, in the New Testament, that new economy that God had in Christ Jesus through his redemptive plan of salvation on the cross, that hidden mystery that the Gentiles were included and the gospel is now revealed over here in the New Testament. And notice in verse 27, Paul says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Aren't you grateful tonight for the hope of glory? We sing that old hymn, yes, he included me. Aren't you grateful tonight that he included you and me? Let me tell you, even though he chose the Jewish people back there with Abraham in the Old Testament, yet his plan was that we were included too. And he sends the Apostle Paul as he shares this wonderful, wonderful hidden mystery to this New Testament world, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me tell you, tonight you and I have a living hope. If it were not for the living hope, the Christ of glory, the Christ that we not only celebrated Christmas and Easter, but the living hope that you and I have every single day of our lives. Let me tell you, when I looked at that sunset a few moments ago, as it blazed across the western sky, I could not help but think, what an awesome, what a mighty God you and I serve. And he loved this darkened, sinful, fallen, broken world so much. He loved us so much. He created us. He breathed into us the breath of life. We became a living soul. And he loved mankind so much that he was not willing that any should perish. And so in order to make reconciliation, he came. Love came down. And love gave himself sacrificially upon Calvary's cross and shed his blood to cover our sins. And he rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. And he is the living hope for the world tonight. Don't you feel sorry for 2/3 of the world tonight that do not have this wonderful Christ that we speak about, that we sing about, that we share about, the hope of glory? When I saw that sunset a few moments ago, I could not help but think, God, you are so awesome. When I read about this thing that's going to occur in the heavenlies that will look like just a dot out there, that will only appear like a dot in the sky, and it had been there now for 800 years since the year 1226. If you can only imagine, that's what God can do. Scientists, NASA, they can go certain places, but they will never be able to comprehend nor plumb the depths of that canopy of space out there in the night skies that you and I see as we see those stars out there. He called every one of them by name. He named them. He flung them out there. Let me tell you, this awesome God loved humanity so much that he was willing to come out of heaven's glory. He didn't have to do it, but he came so that you and I might have redemption through his shed blood, that we might have life eternally through his resurrection, that we could someday live with him for all eternity. He reconciled sinful man to himself through his son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I could have this living, wonderful hope of glory. And then in verse 28, he says, him we preach. Now, there's a lot of people out there in the world tonight that are preaching all kinds of things. But I want you to know the Apostle Paul understood with all of the heretics, with all of the heresies, with all of the false teachings that were going on in his day, some 2,000 years ago, he wants to iterate and reiterate over and over and over again that the one that he's preaching about is this Christ, the hope of glory. And let me tell you, he lays that down in verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect. That word perfect means complete in Christ Jesus. Aren't you grateful tonight that our salvation is complete in Christ? Aren't you thankful tonight that you have that incredible peace that surpasses all human understanding? Aren't you grateful tonight to know that if you went home and you went to sleep, that in the middle of the night, if he summoned one of those created angels that Hebrews tell us are ministering spirits for those who will inherit salvation? Should he send one in the middle of the night to take you into the presence of the Lord Jesus? Doesn't that give you pause? Doesn't that give you peace? Doesn't that give you an incredible hope that we have something to hope for? Many people tonight, all over this world, are looking for hope. They're looking for hope in all of the wrong places. But let me tell you, the hope that we have is in the Christ of Christmas. And the Christ of Christmas, the resurrected Christ, lives in the Christian's heart. Those that have been born again every day of our lives. And we should live our lives in such a way that others could look at us and that we would give a glaring testimony, whether it's through words or through actions or through deeds, that others would look at us and say, I want what that person has. Paul said in 28, him we preach, he's speaking of Christ, warning every man. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've warned someone that eternity is coming? The moments are passing from you and from me. None of us are guaranteed another breath. None of us are guaranteed a tomorrow. How many of us are going out into the highways and the byways of life, warning people and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus? I'm so thankful to know tonight that I stand in the righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness. It's not your righteousness. It's not my righteousness. In and of ourselves, there is no righteousness. We stand complete in his righteousness, justified as if we had never sinned. He then says in verse 29, to this end, I also labor. Paul is laboring in a prison. He's telling every prison guard. He's telling family members of the Caesar's household. He's sharing with prisoners that come in where he is. He's sharing, he's warning them about the importance of knowing this incredible man called Jesus Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according, notice, to his working, which works in me mightily. Is Christ working in you mightily tonight? Is Christ working in us mightily as we go through this world? Do people in our city, do they hear of the testimony of this church? Do they see some of the deeds and some of the things this church does throughout this county, throughout this state, through the cooperative program, through world missions, through World Hunger, through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? That is, if there ever was a time that the churches need to band together and give generously to the Lottie Moon mission Christmas offering, it is now, today. Let me tell you, time is of the essence, I believe. We are living in a changed world. And if any of you have been listening, if any of you are keeping up with the new reset of world globalization, it's out there. It's out there in the news almost daily. When the Economic Forum convenes again in January to talk about the reset, let me tell you, what they're speaking about is what I've been speaking about in the book of Revelation. Globalization, a one world government. They're calling it the reset. But folks, let me tell you, the reset for you and me as Christians is the rapture of the bride of Christ one of these days. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Would you stand as we pray together? Father, we thank you for the wonderful words of life. God, thank you how they leap out on the pages of Holy Writ right before us. They challenge us. Oh God, they give us a boost of energy to want to share Christ with more and more and more people. Thank you today that the Christ of Christmas and the Christ of resurrection, the living hope, oh God, was shared today with the massive crowd that filled this sanctuary and all of those that listened live stream. They heard the gospel message. Thank you, Father, for technology. Thank you, Father, for a church that loves the Lord. God bless New Hope Baptist Church as we come to the end of this year and as we leap into 2021. Oh God, I pray your divine protecting hand upon this church and these premises and upon this church family. I pray, oh God, that this next year, oh God, that people, stewardship and giving will continue as it has in the past. So, oh God, that we can go light our world that we live in. Father, thank you for your precious word, your precious love. And thank you, oh God, for eternity, for salvation, and the living hope in the risen Christ who's coming to get us one of these days. Father, we praise you, we thank you, and we give all the glory to you in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.